This message is given by Dr. B.J. Stagner, pastor of New Testament Baptist Church, Goodlettsville, Tennessee.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I do appreciate Brother David running things upstairs and running a little short today, but that's to be expected. Roads are bad, especially the back roads. They're pretty rough. We had to go the long way around and to get to church this morning, but the main roads are in good shape, and that's a blessing, but I want to ask everybody to make sure they get home early enough this afternoon. Don't know what the weather's going to hold. It looks nice now, but should the temperature drop, you just never know what may happen. So let's just play it safe. We will have our potluck after a sermon this morning. Then we'll dismiss church and we'll go on about our business. I want to bring a message to you this morning that's been dear to my heart just in the past several weeks, and the thought here today is actually a precursor to a message that I've been wanting to preach. And but I got looking at this thing, and I think the Lord would have me start this first, and then at a later date preach the other one. So without further ado, open your Bibles up to the book of Leviticus this morning. When you get there, let's all stand as we honor the reading the Word of God. We're going to have about 9 verses to read to open up with, so I ask you to bear with the long reading, the much reading. A lot of people like to read over the book of Leviticus. They get tiresome. It's been noted as the book of blood, the book of Leviticus here. But I'll tell you what, I challenge you this morning that as you do go through your daily reading, don't just look over. Don't just look over and skim through the book of Leviticus. The book of Leviticus is an important book. There's more types of Christ seen in this book here than any other, if you will, in the Old Testament. Leviticus chapter 6 and in verse 1. The Bible says that the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, if a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord and lie unto his brother in that which was delivered to him or delivered him to keep or in fellowship or in a thing taken away by violence or hath deceived his neighbor. Brother David, if you'll turn the lapel mic down just by one notch, just knock off a little bit of that. I'm hearing just a bit in the background. Verse 3, Bible says, or hath found that which was lost and lieth concerning it and sweareth falsely in any of all these that a man doeth sinning therein. Then it shall be because he hath sinned and is guilty that he shall restore that which he took violently away or the thing which he hath deceitfully gotten or that which was delivered him to keep or the lost thing which he found or all that about which he hath sworn falsely. He shall even restore it to the restore in the principal and shall add the fifth part more thereto and give it unto him to whom it appertaineth in the day of his trespass offering. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord, and a ram without blemish out of the flock, with thy estimation, for a trespass offering unto the priest. The priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord, and it shall be forgiven him for anything of all that he hath done in trespassing therein. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night until morning, and the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear God, for the blessed day and time and opportunity to be here in your house. Father, we thank you, Lord, for traveling mercies to church today. Dear God, do pray that those who may be traveling now, Lord, that you would please keep them safe and sound without harm on these roads. Father, we thank you for allowing us to be together as a family, Lord God, as brothers and sisters in Christ, as the bride of Christ. We thank you this morning for allowing us to dwell together here. And Father, we pray a special and mighty blessing, dear God, for the preaching of the word today. We pray that you would take hold and receive all glory and praise and honor, dear God. So is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ above all names that are given. And we pray today, and Father, you'd anoint the reading, Father. We pray that you'd bless it and that everything said and done would be done so, Father, with your approval. So it's in the name of our Savior, thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask all of these things. Amen and amen. Thanks so much, and please be seated. I want to take you back in your mind just a little bit here. Within the courtyard of the tabernacle, the first thing that is going to be encountered there is what's called a brazen altar. It's a bronze altar. We talked about it here a couple months back in a message titled Tabernacle. And we find that a brazen altar is the first thing that's going to be found when someone would come through the tent gates. It's before the tabernacle itself. There's another altar over there. There is a
There's a basin where the priests were to cleanse their hands and their feet before entering into the tabernacle itself. But right inside the courtyard is a thing called a brazen altar. And it is from this altar that fire and smoke ascended up into heaven from the daily offerings. And there's five types of offerings that are specified in the Bible, in the Word of God. There's the burnt offering, the sin offering, there's the guilt offering, the peace offering, and then there is the grain offering. But this morning, what I want us to look at is I want us to look at the burnt offering just briefly today. We're not going to go into it in grave detail, but I do want us to understand what is going on in the midst of this altar. And the law of the burnt offering, the trespass offering, if you will, made unto the Lord for committing sin. These trespasses, they're done with a willing heart that we just read about there in chapter 6. But beloved, even the sins that were committed, ignorantly, if you will, unknowingly, if you will. Now, we know the New Testament says, he that knoweth to do good and doeth not, him and his sin. Amen. There's things in our life as Christians that we just ought to do. And if we refuse not to do them, it's sin. Amen, Brother Pete. But here we're seeing in chapter 6, we're seeing sins that are committed willingly. But even sins that were committed ignorantly required a burnt offering. If you look back one chapter there in verse 17, the Bible says, and if a soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he wist it not, it means though he knew it not, that's an ignorant sin, it says, yet is he guilty and shall bear his iniquity. And he shall bring a ram without blemish out of the flock with estimation for a trespass offered unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his ignorance wherein he had erred and wist it not. And it shall be forgiven him. It is a trespass offering. He has certainly trespassed against the Lord. So what you have here is you have the excuses that mankind will play, the excuses that mankind will pull, removed completely out of our mindset. What you find out here is that even if you commit a sin, and you say, well, I didn't know that was a sin, you're still going to be held accountable for it. We understand that, whereas Paul said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Whether you knew it or not, a sin is a sin. The Bible says that you will bear that iniquity. Somebody say amen to that today. So that's why the Jews had the burnt offering. The sacrifice represented complete dedication and surrender to God. The animal, usually an unblemished male, bore the worshiper's sins and died in his or her place. That's what the burnt offering was for. After the blood was sprinkled on the altar, the animal was completely burned up and none of it was roasted to be eaten. That's the difference between the burnt offering and the peace offering. That's the difference between other offerings that you find given in the sacrifice there at the tabernacle. Now, we're not gonna go into much in great reading this morning. These offerings, these sacrifices, you could spend a month of Sundays at least just on one of them. We're just gonna hit the high points concerning the burnt sacrifice today. I want you to notice something here in the sixth chapter. First and foremost, we find that the burnt offering must be presented. It must be presented. Notice there that, if you will, in chapter 6 and in verse 6, it says, and he shall bring his trespass offering. He shall bring his trespass. Beloved, listen, without the sacrifice, you can't get into the tabernacle. Amen. Without the burnt offering, you can't get in. Without the bringing that sacrifice to God and presenting that thing unto the Lord, your sins could not be paid for. So first and foremost, the sacrifice, the animal, that which was being sacrificed for your sins, it had to be brought. It had to be presented to the priest, beloved. It is the burnt offering that allows us access, and it must be presented to the Lord. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28 says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Friend, let me tell you this morning. In order for Jesus Christ to pay for our sins, he had to be presented, amen, at the altar of sacrifice. Now that altar of sacrifice was the cross of Calvary. But listen, in order for the sin debt to be paid for under God's law, amen, it had to be presented first. You can't get, listen, you know, you've heard the old statement, you can't get blood out of the tournament, or out of a turnip. You see over there with Abel, Cain and Abel. God told him to bring that offering there, and Abel took the finest of his flock, the best lamb, the very first one, the nicest, the cleanest, whatever it may be, and he sacrificed and presented it unto God. And Cain, the tiller of the ground, He took his vegetables and his fruits and let's just say his turnips, amen. Stacked them up nice and neat. I bet they were beautiful. I bet they were all arranged according to types and colors and sizes and all of that. But God wasn't happy with it, amen. Because there's no blood in the vessels. And it must be, listen, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin, the Bible tells me, amen. So the burnt offering that we find today, it had to be presented before the Lord. Without the burnt offering being presented, there's no atonement for sin. Beloved, not only did it have to be presented before God, but it has to be perfect, amen. It has to be perfect. There in chapter 6, in verse 6, it says there, and he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord. It says, a ram without blemish out of the flock. It says, a ram without blemish. Beloved, the sacrifice had to be perfect. It couldn't have a scar. It couldn't have a spot. It couldn't have a wrinkle. It couldn't have one flaw whatsoever. The sacrifice of the burnt offering had to be perfect in every which way, shape, form, and fashion. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as of silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ and as of a lamb, without blemish, without spot. Beloved, Jesus Christ, if Jesus Christ was not perfect, he would have had to die for his own sins. If Jesus Christ was not perfect, he would have had to have somebody who was perfect die in his place. You see, it's the burnt offering that gets you in, guys. It's the Lord Jesus Christ who offers himself up as a lamb without spot, as a lamb without wrinkle, as an offering, beloved, without sins, without any kind of flaw whatsoever. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, he says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Listen, Jesus Christ is perfect. He had to be perfect. If he wasn't perfect, he had to die for his imperfection. Amen. Here's a picture of the burnt offering. Matter of fact, let me back up and say that correctly. The burnt offering is a picture of Jesus Christ. It had to be presented before the Lord, number one. Number two, it had to be perfect. There could not be a flaw in the lamb or the ram that came before the priest there in the tabernacle. Listen, you can't get in with a flawed sacrifice. And beloved, you can't be saved today by a flawed sacrifice. You can't be saved today if your Savior had one drop of sin in His body. He had to be presented before the Lord. It not only had to be presented before the Lord, it had to be perfect, beloved. But wherein it was perfect and wherein it was presented, friend, I'm here to tell you this morning, the sacrifice has to be personal. The sacrifice that is brought before God is personal, my friend. If you look there in Leviticus chapter 6, and the Bible tells me, shall bring, what's that next word? Shall bring his. Beloved, the sinner that was looking to have his sins atoned, the blood that had to be shed for the remission of his sins, he could not bring someone else's lamb. He could not bring a ram out of somebody else's flock. He could not borrow somebody else's sacrifice. It had to be personal. It had to mean something to him. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, the Bible says, for we have not a high priest, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was at all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Friend, it is the burnt offering that gets you there. But it is a personal burnt offering. Jesus Christ, had there been only one sinner upon the face of this planet, had there been one person that had committed iniquity, one person that needed to be saved, Jesus Christ, because of His love for you and His love for me, He would have came to this earth. He would have died a shameful death. He would have died on the cross of Calvary because it was a personal sacrifice. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. It is a personal sacrifice. Not only was it a personal sacrifice that had to be made, but it was a personal sacrifice to the Father for the Son to have to die for mine and your sins, beloved. It's the burnt offering that gets you in. Without it, you'll have to remain outside the walls. Without the burnt offering, you'll be outside the body. The burnt offering was given each year for the Jews, but not now. The burnt offering, beloved, well pleasing to the Father, has been given once and once for all. It was a sacrifice without blemish, without fault. It was a sacrifice without sin. It was a sacrifice presented before the Lord. That's on Calvary today. It was a sacrifice that is perfect in all ways. He knew no sin. Beloved, it was a sacrifice that is personal. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, but God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, I can't think of any more personal Savior for Him to look down at a depraved, selfish, sinful, lustful, greedy, warring, fighting, lying, disloyal creation. And that's what we are. Amen. We're disloyal to God. Amen. We serve our earthly employers much greater than we do our Heavenly Father. Oh, we might miss a paycheck. Might miss all of them. Amen. You don't do right before God. That's what we do, Brother Pete. We was a disloyal creation. I mean, my soul, it didn't take but just a handful of years. And the first murder's committed. Cain slew Abel because he was mad. He was in an uproar. Amen? And so he killed him. Just because Cain didn't do right, and his brother did, so he killed him. Amen? Along comes Seth. As time would have it, the Bible says that God looked down, according to Genesis chapter 6, and he said he was wroth. He was, in plain old English, in Tennessee English, he was regrettable. He was regretful that he had even created mankind. It repented him. Because all of their hearts and all of their minds, the Bible says that their imagination was evil continual. That's all it was. God looked down and says, I'm going to wipe them out. And he found a righteous man, a righteous preacher by the name of Noah. Preached 120 years, had seven converts, amen, eight including himself. And they got on that boat, the ark, amen. And those depraved, wretched souls that had heard the preaching for 120 years, they knew not what was about to happen to them until the water came. And they said, oops. And friend, I'm going to tell you right now, that's a personal Savior. That's a personal sacrifice to know what mankind's already been through and to continue. I mean, year after year after year, and generation after generation, you find Israel turning their back on God. You find mankind doing away with God and honoring the four-footed beast and honoring the clouds and the skies. And you got all these people worshiping the sun, the moon, and the stars and the trees. And they're worshiping animals today. And listen, they're doing the same thing today as they were back then. Amen. We don't think they are, but I'm telling you they are. Listen, I'm not for hurting the animals. I'm not for killing the animals. I'm not for all of that stuff. But I'm going to tell you right now, we ought not protect the animals and not protect the children. Amen. If I got to choose between an animal living and a child, I'm going to choose a child. I don't have to think about that. There's not even a consideration about that. Amen. But we live in a world today that's mixed up. Amen. Kill the babies, but let the rats live. Amen. You hear stories all the time of what these people are doing. You see these actors on TV and they come with the heartstrings music in the background. They got this big sad face and the poor little kittens and the poor little dogs and the poor little, hey, I love dogs. I love cats. I love animals. Don't take this wrong. But why can't we have a commercial with some famous actor saying, what about the love of the babies? Amen. The children. We have an economic crisis in America today. We're not going to have enough people in the workforce to provide for the lifestyle this country is used to. Why? Because as of, I guess it was 2 weeks ago, marked the anniversary of Roe versus Wade. The young woman that is named Jane Roe, with a fictitious name that they used, all she was a token. That's all she was a tool to pass abortion in America. That woman, she recanted her belief, amen. One of the most famous doctors who committed more abortions in a certain county in the United States of America. Hey, listen, he recanted. He apparently got sane. He heard the heartbeat of a six-week-old baby. And, hey, listen, he turned his back on the movement. He's pushing today to try to get it torn down. But I'm going to tell you, when a snowball starts rolling, all it does is get bigger. Amen. That's where we are in America today. And even though we're there, and listen, don't think God didn't know that was going to happen. Amen. He's omnipresent everywhere at all times. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's omnipotent. He's all-power. That's my God. Amen. If He was not, He wouldn't be a God. Amen, Brother Pete. He knew it was going to happen. And you know what? He still came and died on the cross of Calvary. He still fulfilled the scriptures that was given in the Old Testament that the burnt offering must be burned and it must die, that the blood must be put upon the mercy seat, that there must be a given atonement for the sins of the sinner, whether they're willing or whether they're ignorant. God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. Amen? I love the Scriptures. They clearly define what a sinner is. But in today's time, the word sinner doesn't offend anybody, does it? Well, I'm a sinner just like you are. They joke about it. They take the old jingle from Dr. Pepper. You know, I'm a pepper, you're, or whatever it is. I'm a pepper, you're a pepper, let's all be a pepper too. Something along that line. I'm butchering it probably, but you get the idea. They say, I'm a sinner, you're a sinner, let's all be a sinner. They make fun of it, they mock it out. But I tell you this, not without giving any disrespect to the Scripture this morning, but let's fill in a word there, amen. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet liars, idolaters, amen. While we were yet worshiping another God, while we were yet blasphemers and adulterers and murderers, amen. Christ died for us. Yeah, that's the way we need to think about it when you think of the word sinner, because it's a willing sin or an ignorant sin. It doesn't matter. The Bible says that you're going to bear the iniquity anyway, amen. The Bible comes back in the New Testament, says, he that knows to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin, amen. All these things. Disrespectful to parents, all of them. In that, while we were yet, all of these things, Christ died for us. He's personal, guys. He was presented before the Lord. He's perfect in all His ways. And He's personal in His sacrifice. Beloved, I tell you, without the burnt offering, that's what gets you in the door. That's what gets you through the gate. You can't get into the family of God without the burnt offering. Listen, you're looking at a saved, born-again believer in Christ who was nothing more than a wretched sinner, not worth the paper his name was written on. And Jesus Christ is a personal Savior and came to die for me anyway. Amen. Turn over to the book of Hebrews with me real quick. Hebrews chapter 10. I know sometimes it's hard to grasp people's attention without running to the New Testament. But in Hebrews chapter 10, in the very first verse, the Bible tells me here, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. So the burnt offering that the Jews performed there in the courtyard before the tabernacle, it was for 1 year's atonement for sin, whether or not they had stolen, whether or not they had sinned ignorantly, whether they had sinned willingly. That burnt offering, that lamb, that perfect ram without spot, without blemish, was presented to the priest, and they cut him open, dropped his blood, set him on fire, burned him all night and all day until it was all gone, atoned for the sins for that year. However, that sacrifice there in the courtyard upon the brazen altar could not pay for sins for eternity. So that burnt sacrifice there in the courtyard of the tabernacle was a shadow of good things to come. Beloved, you know what the good things that were to come in that burnt offering? The Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. Verse 2 tells me, for then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Beloved, there is a surrendering that the burnt offering pictures. The Bible tells me in Psalms 51, it says, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Beloved, I'm going to ask you to listen carefully in these last few moments, for I believe it will mean more to you in the New Testament Christianity that you possess today as we look at the foreshadow given in the courtyard of the tabernacle, that burnt offering, as we understand that God delighteth not in that sacrifice. You see, it is the offering of the Lord Jesus Christ that should bring us to a point of a broken spirit and a contrite heart. For without that, one cannot seek restoration. For without a broken spirit and a contrite heart, one cannot have reconciliation. Beloved, it is the spirit of the heart that is required for forgiveness to be found, both for man and God. Forgiveness, my friend, is not a regimen. It's not a manual. It's not a book of rituals or requirements that you must follow and then forgiveness is found. But rather, forgiveness is only found with a broken heart, a broken spirit and a contrite heart. You say, what's a broken spirit? You take a horse that is a fresh horse. He's never been broken. He's wild. You jump on him, he kicks you off. You jump on him, he kicks over and over and over until one day one of you is going to win. That's called breaking the horse. You break his will and you force him to submit unto the controlling movement of the bit and the bridle. That's breaking a horse. And I'm here to tell you this morning that God requires the same thing out of us. Oh, yeah, I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. Let's all be a sinner. Won't you want to be a sinner, too? It's not a broken spirit. That's not a contrite heart. When is the last time that you committed sin in your life and you broke down and you wept over your own personal sins that you've committed against God? I have men today seeking restoration, seeking reconciliation, seeking forgiveness, seeking all these things, trying to come to me and want to talk to me and want to have a friendship and fellowship and this and that. But not one time have I seen the broken spirit and the contrite heart of the sins they've committed. And God won't grant forgiveness for a soul who can't have those two things. For without repentance, beloved, it's impossible to have forgiveness. You can't just, listen, that's why the Catholics go wrong. Amen? They have the little booth, the little box, the little confessional. Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. It's been 7 hours since the last confession. I stole some bubble gum down at the tree. Hey, go five Hail Marys. You're in good shape. Attaboy, make sure you put money in the plate. And then they go out and they can commit the same thing and they come back to the confessional. Forgive me, Father, I have sinned. It's been 2 days since my last confession. I went home and slapped my wife around and ten Hail Marys. Make sure you double up your money in the plate. Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. It's been 5 minutes since my last confession. They got to do it every time, every day, every day, every day. But the burnt offering that was given unto God on Mount Calvary was personal, perfect. It was presented before the Lord and it was once and for all. Say amen. That's what the burnt offering represented in the courtyard of the tabernacle when the flames ascended up into heaven day in, day out. Beloved, Jesus Christ is the final burnt offering. He's offered once and once and for all. Verse 10 says, in Hebrews 10, says, by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. He is the final burnt offering. Beloved, Jesus Christ is the finest burnt offering. In verse 14 says, for by one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Beloved, Jesus Christ is the fulfilled burnt offering offered once and for all. Verse 15 says, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he hath said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their heart and into their minds, and I will write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Jesus Christ is the final burnt offering. He is the finest burnt offering. He is the fulfilled burnt offering. And because of Jesus Christ today, dear friend, we have a future to enter the holiest because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of the debt that He paid. Because of the price that He suffered. Because of the pain He endured. Because of what He has done in paying for our sins and the sins of this world, you and I this morning, we can come directly to Him, by Him, and for Him, even in this present world. Verse 19, it says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holies by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. The sacrifice of the Savior was presented, friend. The sacrifice of the Savior was perfect. The sacrifice of the Savior was personal. But praise God, it was pleasing. Isaiah 53, verse 10 said, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief. When thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin, He shall see His seed, He shall prolong His days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. Praise God that a presented perfect personal sacrifice on Mount Moriah in a place called Golgotha, known as a place of a skull. Praise God this morning that at Calvary, that sacrifice was pleasing unto God. Because had it displeased God, we today, of all men, would be most miserable still in our sins. Beloved, it said that the ancient city of Troy had but one entrance. From whatever direction travelers approached the city, it said that they could only come in through this one legally appointed entranceway into the mighty city of Troy. Beloved, I'm here to tell you this morning that there's only one way to lead us to the presence of God. And there's only one way that's going to get us into the holies of holies. There's only one way that you and I can get over there and experience that Shekinah glory that was there in the very centerpiece of the tabernacle and the holies of holies there. There's only one way to get in there. And it starts with the first sacrifice. It starts with the burnt offering at the brazen altar. For you and I this morning, it started at the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's the burnt offering. Without the burnt offering, you don't get in. Without the burnt offering, you're outside the wall. Without the burnt offering, friend, you're outside the body of Christ.
Without the burnt offering, you're without remission of your sins. Without the burnt offering, you're without salvation. Would you bow your heads with me this morning?
This concludes this message. For more information on messages available through the Faithful Witness Outreach, visit New Testament Baptist Church online at www.ntbctn.com. Or for immediate assistance, call New Testament Baptist Church at 615-851-0970. If you are in the Nashville, Tennessee area, please feel free to join us at any of our church times. New Testament Baptist Church is located at 2320 Baker Station Road, Goodlettsville, Tennessee, 30072.